Okay, it's 6:30 on Monday, February 23rd. I will call the Plan Commission meeting to order. And first item of business is roll call. Kendra will be late. Howard?
Here.
Chris is excused. Roger?
Here.
Wes?
Present.
Penny is excused and Barb is present. Number two on the agenda is to adopt the agenda. Are there any modifications that need to be made? Trevor, is there anything?
No.
Okay. Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the agenda. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carrying. Number three, the minutes from the January 26th meeting. I have one correction to be made on page four. Under the discussion of the Green Avenue Water Station, about halfway down, where it states the building is inhabitable at this time, should read the building is not habitable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it says inhabitable.
You know, we just looked it up, and inhabitable means it's habitable.
It's inhabited.
I think I've been using that word incorrectly myself, but we'll change it to not habitable.
Okay. I recall seeing a typo somewhere in this. And then it's two, so maybe there should be a general check for typographic errors.
Okay. Are there any other corrections that need to be made? Other than the changing the inhabitable to not habitable?
Move to approve with the prescribed change.
Okay, so motion, is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Roger, second by Howard. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Number four, the announcements. Trevor?
Well, we had the quarter study open house on 8th and 8th. That was really well attended. We had about 60 people sign in, but I think we had a few more than that. Spoke with Griff this afternoon, and they're in the process of kind of reading through all those post-its and gathering everything, and hopefully we'll have something later this week. So the next open house is on the 19th. Of March, I'm sorry. And I will be just kind of taking what they find and kind of narrowing the focus a little bit.
Are there any questions for Trevor on that subject? And then the update on the DOT
report. Yeah, I was hoping to have more. I just sat in briefly at the meeting. They're going over the...
Now, which focus? This is one of the stakeholders?
CSS, yeah, the Community Sensitive Solutions. So the aesthetics, the, I wrote down, trees, shrubs, light fixtures, sidewalks, crossings, and retaining walls. So they're looking at that. They said typically the DOT has a budget, or they budget 1.5% of the total budget for CSS type projects. So this is about $10 to $12 million project, gives us about $140,000 that the DOT will put forward. So then they went into a lot of other things, but yes, I don't know if you want me to mention those now or not.
Sure.
Okay. Well, one of the biggest issues was the continuous lighting, or the lighting along the corridor. It's DOT's policy to fund 50% of continuous lighting and I'm not sure on the definition what expanse that is. But they won't necessarily fund 50% of spotlighting. So some communities will just, I guess, light intersections in specific areas. They won't fund 50% of that. It has to be continuous. So,
is there a problem with continuous lighting?
Well, one of the committee members brought up the point that there's a lot of residents along that stretch that might not want better lighting.
Well, most of the lighting requirements is cutoff lighting, so you don't get the overspill that you typically get or used to get with.
And that's, they brought up that point too, so.
Would that be, would the lighting be primarily along the sidewalks? Because that's...
No, it's for traffic.
Street lighting.
Okay.
So the sidewalk lighting would be, I think, something separate.
Okay.
Well, in a standard state project, they wouldn't have sidewalk lighting.
Okay.
They would only have lighting to provide for the motor vehicle repairs. Unless there was intensive pedestrian use in an urbanized area, then they would have normal overhead lighting, continuous lighting.
Yeah.
Just because of that. So.
Oh, yeah, and I don't want to get into too many specifics. I was just kind of bystander. They weren't having us ask questions or anything, so. But definitely can contact Andy with the DOT.
Do you know, one thing I haven't seen in the design presentations is if they're considering on-site stormwater treatment with swales or...
I know they're discussing that. I'm not sure.
So we just haven't seen anything from them on that?
Yeah.
So are they supposed to... under contract, is the designer supposed to consider that sort of design?
I would assume so, but again, I don't know.
Okay.
Any other questions for Trevor? Now we'll move on to number 5, public appearances. Anybody in the public wish to speak?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. As part of the planning process on Highway 57 that we were just at, I noticed that the state neglected to put 4,500 linear feet of sidewalk on the west side, and that's important that that goes in. I think that the village may want to save some money by not plowing it, but that becomes a access corridor for the people from the Calf Street neighborhood to get to the Ox River Trail. And then also there's a part of that would be down by St. Francis Park, and that would connect St. Joseph Street down to the Fox River Trail also, because there's not a lot of available public access in that area. And what I have drawn up for the village, and then Brad will bring it to, hopefully, to you guys for the next meeting, is I've proposed that there be a pedestrian bypass going behind the old Holgrave Brewery, and that be included as part of the project, so we can use Fox River Drive as a pedestrian accommodation to possibly eliminate the need for some of the sidewalk down by the Murphy Colza Gate. So I'll be giving that to Brad, and then he'll look at it and talk with Craig and with Chris with regards to how that impacts access to the parks and if it's a good plan. But specifically, they're required to have sidewalks on both sides if it's feasible, and they left off 4,500 linear feet. And so I've asked them to go ahead and put that back in, at least consider it in the plan.
And we'll probably hear something from Brad in the next meeting or two.
Yeah, but because they're having a meeting today, it should be talked about before we decide that we don't want it.
Okay. Are they discussing it in the other meeting?
They said that they really, they'll talk about it later. I've been talking with them for a couple weeks on it now.
Okay.
Or at least a week on it now.
So. I think technically that isn't part of the CSS discussion.
Okay.
But it needs to be part of the other stakeholders.
Maybe the other meeting.
It has to come more from the village.
Well,
the village wants to
do it. We could make a statement about that.
Okay.
So. You mentioned Fox River Drive.
Fox River Trail.
Oh, Fox River Trail.
Right. So we would pass behind, we would have a pedestrian accommodation going along Fox River Trail, because we already have a trail that people like to use.
Okay. Any other public appearances? On to number six, the approval of the CSM for the St. Joseph Real Estate Services Corporation, which appears to be diocese property. Do you want to speak about this at all, Trevor?
Sure. Yeah, I apologize. I was going to try and have it up on the screen there. Well, this was submitted to Brown County. Brown County asked for our recommendation. One thing to note, though, with combination CSMs, the village has really no binding authority when it comes to approving them. But kind of as a formality, this is something the village has always done, is just kind of ran it through the process and asked for the advice and thoughts of the Planning Commission Village Board. So, again, there's three parcels there. They're in question, they're in review, and they're making it into one larger parcel that would front Webster and flag out to St. Joseph.
Are there any questions about this?
No.
Do you have questions?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Our memorandum identifies three parcels, but there's nothing on the survey map which tells us where those three parcels are and what their extent is.
Okay.
You talking about lot 1, 2, and 3, Trevor?
I'm talking about, there's...
On the memo, there's AL50-12, AL50-13, and AL51. We don't have a reference map that shows us where those parcels exist on this map.
There's, so lot one, you can see a little dash mark, and this is why I meant to bring up the Brown County maps. Apologies. So that larger, you can notice that dash mark goes into the lot to the west, parcel A. So that was one parcel. And parcel A is the other affected one. It kind of flags out to Webster Avenue. And then parcel D, which is a very large parcel that kind of encompasses most of the land there. And they're only taking a small portion of parcel B.
I have it here. These are the original parcels. This was one, this was one, and then this was the other one. So they're changing the parcel lines. They're tweaking the original lots a little bit.
Parcel D.
I don't see parcel D either.
So those dash lines on yours are these. Those were the original parcel lines. But they're eliminating those, and then they're extending it. They're going to give this lot some frontage here, this lot.
Smaller one. So the idea is, this is a quick trip, and they're going to have it fronting Webster Avenue. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so it's going to be that piece and this piece, and I'm sorry for being advanced, but where's the... if I don't see where it is, I can't really see whether it's empty or not. And
right.
So...
It kind of darkened it a little bit. These were the original parcels.
Okay.
This one.
Yep.
this one.
That's the original
one. Then the big one. Those are the three that they're combining. And then in the process, they're tweaking the property or the lot lines a little bit. See how the lot lines are changing? Which is allowable under a combination.
So it's going to be one lot that goes all the way.
When you say lot lines, what do you mean?
There are lot lines, but
you
it's
mean
one
property
parcel.
Lines?
Well, it's one parcel with lot lines within it. But they're combining all the parcels to be one parcel. And then there is that other separate parcel that's in the middle of it.
There's a residence in here, isn't there, someplace?
This is the, I think, is it the Bishop's House?
10,006 or 1006 or something. I drove in there trying to make sense of it, and that's why I was, if Roger hadn't asked, I would have. So there's going to be one parcel from Webster to Riverside.
Right.
And the reason they're doing that is because, why?
They didn't give us a specific reason. Really, we can't.
It's not something that we need to address.
Right.
I mean, obviously.
Right. And that other parcel that had the, this was the parcel with the chancery on it, I believe, right?
That's correct.
And they had thought that that had been for sale, and then they thought that the property would sell better if the chancery was demolished, so they raised it. And then that was, I think, in 2007 or 2008. And then that property, I believe, was still for sale, but now they're kind of reabsorbing it. So they must, I don't know if they're not trying to sell that anymore, but it's not a separate parcel anymore once this goes through.
Webster Heights over here.
Right. And this, I think, must just be the diocese building within here.
Yeah, so that's like a little island in the middle. And there, I've been on that bridge. So I have friends that live right there. They showed me that. It's a little murky area.
Just a walking bridge?
It's just a walking bridge, yeah. It's kind of so it's full of mosquitoes.
Okay. So it'll be the combining of the three parcels, but the lots will remain somewhat. They'll be changed a little bit.
But, Trevor, you indicated that only a small portion of parcel D is being combined with the...
The part that has the frontage on Webster Avenue is being absorbed.
Oh, okay. So there's this little section from the dashed line that has 206.89 feet above it?
Correct.
To those lot line or property lines?
Yes.
And or bearing lines, something like that? So, now what about this unplatted section? I think it's unplatted. That's in the far south, southeast corner.
That's where the Wells Fargo is.
Okay.
And that, I asked Peter Schleins from Brown County about that, and he said that's not in question at the moment, so we're really only looking at the three parcels. So even parcel C, that kind of is on its own, on the island in there, we can't really suggest anything on that as well. So,
but then we have no authority. This is really, we're getting this for information purposes.
Right, and I almost put it as a discussion or a report item, but our attorney recommended, because we had always had to go through the process as kind of just formality, just to bring it through the process in this case as well. So I guess that's something we can discuss either tonight or in future thing or future item, is if you know, we'd rather just have these come through as a discussion or a report in the future.
Yeah, I think because I would, based on this and based on what I know about what our responsibility is, I would just move that we receive and place on file and forward to Village Board as part of our meeting minutes.
Okay. Is that okay, or are you looking for the actual approval?
No, that's totally within your power, so that's fine.
Would we have a discussion then on it? I mean, we had a discussion here initially just because I was asking about where, well, you know, how to understand the survey map. So, would we have a discussion at all, or would we just accept it and put a note that we received it? I mean, we don't have to decide now. It's just saying you want to have, rather than approval of the certified survey map, would we say discussion of, or not even that?
Yes, you guys could discuss it.
Was Roger moved that we accept it and place it on file, so is that a motion that he moved, so it would be a second?
And then you could open up the discussion.
Okay, so we have a motion to accept it and place it on file.
Receive and place on file.
Receive and place on file. Do we have a second?
I don't want to imply that we're approving it.
Okay.
So we're disapproving.
You received it. Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And then further discussion on this?
Is there any comments? Peter Schlenz from Brown County said he would be open to hear our comments if we had any, but obviously there's no guarantees.
The only comment really is the lack of adequate documentation to determine what's really happening here so that we could be fully informed. As I said, the information in the memorial for what we were asked to do doesn't agree with the documentation supplied. So in the future, defining that either with a marked up map or some other indication of what the areas we're supposed to be looking at are would be most helpful.
Well, there are bolded lines around the areas in question, and it does list the tax parcels on the CSM. I understand. I was meant to have it up, but for whatever reason, it worked earlier this afternoon, and I can't get it going today. So.
Does QuickTrip own property that we're talking about?
From what I understand, they don't yet.
Which parcel are they looking at?
They're looking at buying the, or purchasing the new larger parcel.
The big one?
The one that is in question tonight.
The one that goes all around the rest?
Correct. The one that kind of flags out to St. Joseph and has all the frontage on Webster Avenue.
Okay.
So the purpose of this is so that a single parcel can be sold to the Quick Trip organization for development.
As far as I know, yeah.
Does that include, the larger portion? Does that include the part of the Buick dealer that's not sold yet across?
No. That's
that was marked off. That was okay. Never mind.
That's in these unplatted lands
left. Yeah, okay.
Or adjacent to them.
Yeah, unplatted lands, okay.
If their intent is to build, can we expect to see a new CSM then?
They
aren't using all of this large property.
No, we would expect to see a site plan application.
Okay. Probably a PDD, it's own commercial right now, and a gas station requires highway business use.
And now that we know that there's somebody else interested, we still couldn't recommend driveway easements so somebody can still get to parcel C?
I could recommend it.
Okay. I didn't realize that Quick Trip was looking at it. I thought it was the diocese was just consolidating some loose parcels, but...
Well, it appears that parcel C is accessible through this drive.
But it isn't an easement. It isn't recorded as a driveway easement? As well as a sewer and water easement for that parcel C to get their sewer and water. I don't know where that comes from. You think we'd want to protect that parcel? Is what is shown on parcel A, that building, is that the bishop's house?
That's correct.
So that'll be part of the property that Quick Trip is purchasing?
No. The one, yes, that would be its own separate parcel.
Okay.
And they would have landlocked that one.
Okay.
But that was one of the discussions we had. They at least flag it out to St. Joseph, so there would be access there in case in the future they want to sell it.
Okay.
So Now I'm not clear on, I'm going to, is this the parcel being developed?
That's correct.
Here, and then this dog leg or this panhandle up to St. Joseph?
Correct. And then the one just to the west of that, they kind of mirrors that same.
This portion?
Yeah, that is the bishop's property. So that's not
so
for sale.
To here.
That's not for sale.
This is not for sale?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Right.
This bearing line
right.
is a new property line. There's this.
So it's just lot one that they're purchasing? It's just
lot one.
Lot
a
one.
Sliver of lot three. Between the two dashed lines running east-west,
okay.
where that 300.01 is, and then a portion of lot D from that northernmost dashed line up to the bearing lines, bearing and property lines,
so
just to the north of it.
Right.
So the bulk of lot three and a portion of lot one are still kind of out there.
I'm seeing this.
It's a distinct separate. Okay. I was understanding that all the lots were being combined, but now I see it's parts of the lots
so
are being combined.
Correct.
So
okay.
this is it.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Heard.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. Finally, I got it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about the parcels? Are we talking about them being tax parcels? No, it's not tax because it's in the diocese. Right?
Well, is it being sold to the new ordinance?
I believe it's being sold.
So then it will revert to the tax ones.
Right.
But as of right now, they're not taxable uses, right? It's all diocese.
Right.
Something I believe that is taxable.
If it's a lease commercial use, then it's taxable. But as it stands mm-hmm. now, it's not. So like the banks, the diocese owns that U.S. Bank building, and they own the Wells Fargo's, they own that land. But because it's leased, that's taxable.
If QuickTrip were to buy this prior to this going through on the same lot, would they have to submit a plat of resubdivision? To resubdivide the parcels?
Yeah.
Versus just moving lot lines? And getting that spine?
Yeah. I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that the diocese pays more taxes than people think. I think that large parcel, with the exception of the buildings that they use for their non-profit use, is taxable. I think they pay $20,000 a year. Pretty sure.
$20,000?
Yeah, not too much, but I think that they pay like $20,000. I looked it up. So they do pay more taxes than people do.
This probably isn't the venue to discuss it, but is there any water and sewer that go to this parcel? See, is there any?
There must be,
yeah.
Right? There's buildings there.
Or I thought maybe there are septic or something.
Shouldn't be.
Because all I see is this one easement, one utility easement.
But along the road,
that
right?
runs along the road.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering if it's on an island.
But, you know, if it's all private property,
right.
you know, that
right.
would be, all of those utilities would be owned by the owners of the property under other agreements.
Just a future thought. This was to ever change hands.
So even though this is a combination, and then looking further on the language, and it says this parcel contains 26.91 acres, this is not one parcel. These, like this lot that everybody's talking about that Quick Trip wants to go in, that will be an individual parcel?
Correct.
Okay. GIS, is that what you're trying to do?
Well, we're going to rehab for future or other agenda items, but if you would like us to wait to pull this up.
Are there any further questions on this? It doesn't sound like there's a lot that we can really ask for. We can make a recommendation to look at utility easements and access easements for that landlocked parcel C. You'll pass that on to Peter Schwines at the county?
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, we can't really ask for a lot more. There's been a motion to that we've received and placed this on file, and a second to the motion. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Number 7, approval of approach to the bicycle and pedestrian plan. And Trevor has provided us with some information on what other municipalities are doing and some traffic counts and the bus routes.
And I did receive some information from Brown County Sheriff's Office this afternoon. It looks like since 2012 in Alloway, there's only been 4 reported bicycle versus automobile accidents.
Right.
And in that same time period, there's only been 1 pedestrian versus automobile accident.
Primarily along one particular street, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. All within the northern half of, from 172 north.
Okay.
There's some along Riverside, there's some along Webster Avenue.
What period was that?
From 2012 to current.
You said 4?
4
bike, automobile crashes? And 1 pedestrian automobile crash.
Correct.
In looking, I don't know if you wanted to do a presentation on this, or is that what Brad's
recommending? No, this was for the agenda item 10.
Okay. So in looking how some of the other municipalities have handled working on this bike plan, bike and pedestrian plan, it looks like it's covered in everybody's comp plan, but then it's also they have some ad hoc committees that maybe were used. I don't know the feeling of the group.
My sense is that an ad hoc group needs to be convened of people who actually bicycle and walk in the village.
You provided a very nice outline of a timetable that could be followed.
Yeah, just a frame. It's really a list of items that we can consider in putting together a plan.
Thank you. far as member, if we do go with an ad hoc committee, as far as members, would we look at other village committees to see if they would want to be involved? Is there a park and rec committee?
Mm-hmm.
And public safety?
Public safety is not public works.
Public works.
Correct.
Okay, so it would be important to have somebody from that committee.
Right. So. Well, I would think we'd engage those committees separately.
Okay.
But, and if some of those, the members of those committees want to be on the ad hoc bicycle and pedestrian committee, or they're welcome to, I would think.
Were you on something similar for the city of Green Bay?
Well, when they did their bike and ped plan for the downtown area, they used to have this organization called Sustainable Green Bay, and so they had a transportation subcommittee, and that organization developed the bicycle plan that they implemented in the downtown area.
Okay.
So, and it was an ad hoc group of people, volunteers.
Okay. Was it a large committee?
I think it ranged up to, I think there was maybe a distribution list of 20,
okay,
but a couple of meetings I went to, we get maybe 10 people.
So. Rather than have the planning commission take this on, I guess I would like to see it go to an ad hoc committee to kind of get it figured out a little bit and then bring it back to us. I don't know what other members.
Well, what we have to do in that sense is figure out a way to organize this ad hoc committee.
Right.
Because right now there's no one out there.
Right.
So it would be great if Alloway Walks and Bikes could do it, but I've been going to the meetings for a few years now, and most of the people there are administrative staff of the village with some citizens. And it doesn't appear that there's a great cross-section of people who actually engage in walking and bicycling activities. So the trick is to find a group who are willing to meet however many times is necessary. You know, people who want to be concerned with the plan, want to express their ideas, give input to it.
Do you have any suggestions on how we would find this group, or who should make up this group?
I would guess that there could be some members from Plan Commission, then as well as some from Walks and Bikes that might be, you know,
right.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as reaching out to the community, I'm not sure how to.
I tried to do a little reaching out and I've gotten a couple of people interested.
Okay.
And, you know, I've got some more work to do on that that I want to at least do, just try to scare up a few people who would be interested in participating.
Are you associated with a certain type of group or just residents?
You know, all I care is that they, I mean, the idea is that it's a bicycle and pedestrian plan update. Okay, so we've got a plan. It's kind of like our comprehensive plan. We're not redoing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a comprehensive plan, and last year we went through it and we updated it. Identified stuff we had completed, identified things that needed to be tweaked. So what we've talked about for the bicycle and pedestrian plan is to break it loose from the Safe Routes to School plan, because right now it's subordinate to the Safe Routes to School initiative. So the idea is to make the bicycle and pedestrian plan a standalone component that is focused on transportation and recreation. So.
Is there a motion to open the floor to the public, or does anybody wish to make that motion?
Let's see if we have other comments from other Plan Commission members first, if they've thought about it.
How many people do you think would be needed for this committee?
I
mean, you said 20. That's kind of a in my estimation, it's kind of a large group, but I don't know.
Well, you know, these stakeholder groups that meet for the Riverside Drive project are, you know, 30 people on those lists or so.
Those are something like that. It's managed by someone who's in charge of eliciting results and compiling the results. So I'm wondering, if you get a group of people in a room, you know, who helps them understand what they're supposed to do, and who takes the notes, and you know, how does a result come out of a group of people who have no other connection to one another other than the fact that maybe they like to walk and bike? When I'm just looking at the structure of it, you know who's going to drive the process in terms of managing it? Will one person be elected, and would you have somebody from Park and Rec? You know, what if you just had one from each of the commissions or committees that are established within the village? Wouldn't it be enough if you had five or six? I don't know. Maybe
that
it's too
could
many
be.
Tasks.
I mean, we're taking on the responsibility for the plan. So So I would think we'd be the point organization.
Yeah. By we, you mean the Plan Commission. So okay, that's what I was trying to
technically
understand,
it's,
is who's,
it is
who's
our
doing
responsibility
what, kind of to move it forward. So, okay.
Although I would think that Public Works could also take on the responsibility. But Public Works brought the recommendation to us.
Okay, so.
And since now we have full-time staff, there's someone who could at least act as a coordinator.
Yeah, okay. That's all I was trying to get a sense of where you were envisioning we could come up with that would work.
And I think it's really got to be people who want to take an interest in it. So, I mean, I've expressed a willingness to do it. I actively bike and walk in the community.
Yeah.
So. And so I'm looking for other people who do. As I said, I found the person who organizes the Green Bay Bike Collective, or coordinates that, lives in the community, and she's willing to be a part of that. One of the guys who works actively to develop the Bear Creek mountain bike trails, he's willing to be involved. I know there are, is it Pete DeChateau?
Pat DeChateau.
I know he bicycles in the area. He oversees, he and his wife like to bicycle. They drive down to from their home to the Fox River Trail, I guess. Or occasionally they ride, I think he told me. So he might be involved if I can get in touch with him. And if he's, if anybody knows of other people to recommend. And one thing I was going to do, there are a lot of people, neighbors in where I live, who walk during the summertime recreationally. So I was just going to print up some cards and take them around and see if they would be willing to be on a committee for that.
So you're envisioning something where we might even post publicly for people to be involved?
Yeah,
in the discussion, and yet anything that comes up then come before the Plan Commission for approval. I think that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, it's really to get find some way of getting public input. Mm-hmm. And Brad and the Village Board have been successful at getting more involvement on the part of the public recently with positioning. And so maybe we're on an upswing that way.
A chance to do something.
It's a good opportunity to get this going too.
Yeah.
You know, with all the other talks that with the Riverside Drive planning, the some of the visioning sessions was all centered around. You know, a lot of it was brought up about making those connections for east-west.
So that's something we can put together, so we can put together something and post. I don't know, you have to come up with a meeting date though, and
right.
Made interested.
Well, once you get enough people who
form a core.
Right.
Set
have a first initial meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And open it to the public.
Rules and plan and we go.
Yeah. And another alternative is to have a subcommittee of the Plan Commission, up to three people who could work on this, either coordinating other volunteers or else, you know, if we wanted to take the approach, we could just identify a subcommittee who would just go over the plan and make recommendations. You know, that's another approach. So.
I think I would prefer seeing more input from community members personally.
I would too, especially having heard Roger talk about all the people that he knows who are avid bicyclers. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I ride occasionally, and always in the same place. So I don't use it to commute, and I walk the dogs in the same place. So I wouldn't be a good candidate, but you have people who would be able to make a judgment about whether what we have makes sense or not, and whether it's workable and can be improved. So I agree. Some experts.
Worked earlier today.
As far as setting some goals for that ad hoc committee or setting up what they would be looking at each of the meeting, is that something that you would coordinate them, Trevor, or does it come out of the Plan Commission?
I would think it best bet would be to come out of here, share with the Plan Commission, and then move forward, or it comes from Trevor and then to the planning group itself, because ultimately the Plan Commission were looking at approving the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's plenty of examples that are out there. The last time we, well, it's been many, many years since the last time we did a bike and ped plan,
mm-hmm.
and that was sponsored by the county.
Or they were engaged as a consultant, right? They were paid to do the plan, right?
That might have been back at the time when we didn't have to pay them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that's no longer the case anymore.
Okay. So
just reaching out to Cole, I'm sure he's got a template that he's used over and over and over that's pretty successful as far as mm-hmm. how many people you'd want and a nice mix of your residents and or committee members. We can start
okay.
working,
so
putting some of that stuff together.
Yeah, we could. It seems for the next meeting maybe we could find out what the county has to say about doing an update. And
yeah.
Let them know what our plans are. Okay. In the meantime, if anyone wants to suggest someone to be contacted for an ad hoc committee, please email me and try to get hold of them.
So is this something that we would need a motion? It's the approval of the approach to the plan, and it sounds like we want to get the county involved to see if they have a template and some suggestions for us. Do we need a motion for that? Is that something that could just be brought to the next meeting?
I think you're looking at doing it at the next meeting.
Okay.
Because we have an understanding of what the direction wants to go, and we'll put that together and then approve it at the next one.
Okay. The public would like to speak. Is there a motion to
move to open the floor?
Second. Okay. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yep.
Okay.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I think it's I'm on the Alloway Walks and Bikes Committee, and I'm also on the Fox, Wisconsin, the Friends of the Fox River Trail. I've been promoting the east-west, connecting the east side, the East River Trail with the Fox River Trail, and concentrating on getting good connecting corridors going between the two of them. So I think that improving and updating the bike ped plan is a good idea. I think that we're at a point now that this committee is suggesting that we disband the LOA Walks and Bikes Committee, and I think that may be a logical next step. And so, because we're going to have too many committees going, So it might be appropriate to disband the Alloway Walks and Bikes Committee, and then also have this group follow the Safe Routes to School plan too, because that's what that committee does, is they do Safe Routes to School and the recreational bike routes. So I believe that this new ad hoc committee would replace the Alloway Walks and Bikes Committee.
But an ad hoc committee is temporarily.
Yeah,
it's
really
just
temporary. I don't see a reason to replace the Alloway Walks and Bikes Committee, because there's consistent involvement of administrative and department staff.
It's a non-recognized committee by the board too.
Right. This is just, a way of trying to draw in more community involvement and find a meeting time, find a time when they can get together and provide input on the plan we have and what they would like to see beyond that. And I would think we'd bring this information to Alloway Walks and Bikes. The issue is Alloway Walks and Bikes meets in the morning when an awful lot of people are at work and, won't leave work to come to a meeting like that. So.
I'm guessing that you'd be talking to Justin Aberg about being a part of the ad hoc committee.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Although she's expressed some misgivings about doing that because of her employment situation with the county. Okay. There apparently are some restrictions on what she's able to do beyond her job for appearance sake or whatever it is.
Did you have anything else, Jim?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Do we make a motion to return to regular business? Go ahead and open up.
You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right. I have a motion to return to the regular
service.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Where we will leave number 7 then is that's something the village will talk to the county and bring something back for the next meeting.
Something a little more formalized.
And number 8 is the approval of the Plan Commission annual report.
One with Roger's recommendations. I had sent the annual report last week to Roger to kind of review. Just asked if he had any suggestions, and he provided that with.
I didn't print this out earlier to put it side by side. Could you kind of give us a summary of any changes that you're recommending?
I'll try. In the past, we've made this graphically just fairly general.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm looking for a copy of the old.
Here it is.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah,
I found it. Yeah. But just for reference purposes, we can go back to that. The other report had just bullet items and the like. And I put a kind of an outline structure to it, so it's easier to, especially for the village board, to comment on specific items. It follows generally the same framework, except that in the last meeting we suggested that we divide up accomplishments and actions. So what I did in addition to that was group similar similar tasks, and let's see. In this case, they're organized for consistency's sake under accomplishments. I eliminated a few redundant items. And removed some things that I didn't think we really participated in, other than having some discussion on it. For instance, hiring a full-time planner for the village. That wasn't what we did. That's what the village board did. So I excluded items like that really didn't seem to be our responsibility. Then under actions, you can see that I grouped things. CSM review has all three grouped under one heading, plan development district, rather than each item being listed separately. And then as you go to the 2015, I divided them up into assigned tasks and recommended, I called it initiatives. Assigned tasks are things that we have to do, we're required to do as a plan commission. And they come up throughout the year, and that's what A is, unscheduled priorities based on applications as they occur, CSM review, site plan review, and plan development district review. And then I grouped the items that we had listed for the tax incremental financing district into one section, recodification. I reworded that to say provide input to the consultant. I kind of took out the names of consultants when they were listed in the report to make it a more objective statement. Under corridor study, I indicated provide input, and then I added this particular item, review and make assessment of corridor study findings, reporting to the village board. So that's something you might want to look at more closely to see if you agree with that wording. Raise ordinance, because we're doing that this year, that appears here. I have bracketed, indicating that we've completed that step. Under zoning, I grouped together three items that we had there, kind of scattered around through these items. Identifying the best zoning use for Green Avenue, we had that discussion earlier. Reassess LOA zoning ordinances with respect to the comp plan. We've been talking about that for some time, and I thought we had identified that we would try to get that done this year. Village and updating the village map. We've been talking about that for at least a year. So, under 2015 Plan Commission recommended initiatives, I put update the bicycle and pedestrian plan with several kind of breaking out some steps that could be involved in that. Determining an approach, that's what we're involved with. Distinguished from the Safe Routes to School plan, that's one of our goals for the update. Enhance the transportation focus. I think for the most part, the concept behind walking and biking in Alloway is more recreational focused, so this will identify more of the transportation issues. Incorporate recent and planned roadway improvements. That's something that I think Chris brought up, especially with the Riverside Drive project and the potential of Webster at some point being repaved. And then engage committees of the village board. That's something that we're not required to do, but it's something we've taken on so that we can have better communication with other boards. And again, this was a consolidation of several items just that were in just a list, so that we're kind of grouping a task. So we're mainly communicating with economic development, historic preservation. And we might want to add Parks and Recreation to that. The annual village tour is noted. And again, that's an initiative that we do. It's not something we're required to do. And then 4, recommended future tasks and initiatives, things that we could plan for in the future, and opportunities to improve. These are all pretty much what is in the earlier plan, slightly edited for brevity's sake. So, any questions?
I think it's a good document, personally. Roger's added a few more words in terms of explanation about, you know, that relate to some of the actions that we took. For example, 2014 actions at the bottom of the page there, number 2, state mandated mobile tower siting ordinance. When he identified, mentioned that we wouldn't have taken that action except as required by law. I mean, something else that talks about, rather than we just kind of did it, you know, we did it, but yet we thought about why we were needing to do it, and we stated that, and it kind of addresses the thoroughness that we're trying to.
Yeah, and I kind of hope that in the future, this document could develop a little more along those lines of having, kind of making an assessment of how successful our actions and our initiatives are, and providing some explanation, which many, you know, which is what our annual report is supposed to do. So I'm hoping it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I'll echo that. What we talked about in the last meeting, it would be, it'd be nice to see some metrics, you know, in the report. And just one that I brought up last time would be how many of the plan commission's decisions do get ratified by the village board. That's a really important metric, because then it shows you how aligned we are. Another one is for the future tasks and things like that. I think it looks great. One that looks great. But a lot of the things that a board like this does is given to us. So when we're going out and talking about the initiatives and things like that, how much alignment is there from the village board to want us to focus on those things? So does this report go to the village board, and they review it, and then they say, yeah, that's what we want you to focus on? Or how does that work? Since I'm new, I'd like to know.
So are you asking,
does the board drive the future initiatives of the plan commission, or does the plan commission tell the village board what we're going to do?
Well, in the past, this document's gone to the village board, and I think it's pretty much been approved unchanged. That answers the question.
Well, I think he's asking the question, and if I'm hearing you right, you're kind of asking how this document, what it does for the village board.
Right.
And it's, I think I've left in here that it, you know, the Plan Commission respectfully submits this annual report to the Village Board of Trustees, too, and then I list what the purpose.
Sure, and then you got the recommended initiatives, you know, so it's not saying this is what we're going to do, it's more, this is what we think we should be doing.
And I did add where the Plan Commission is established in our village ordinances also. Mm-hmm. But it sounded like you were also asking how we work with the board, whether everything we do is assigned by the board, or whether we come up with everything, and it's yes.
Everything.
Right. We get things assigned to us by the board, like the Green Avenue discussion, zoning discussion. They asked us to do that.
Right.
But because we're a commission, it's our job to initiate things in accordance with state statute that are our responsibilities. So, in fact, we could be a design review board, an architectural design review board, if we wanted to take that approach. And based on some of the things that have happened in the village, I think we should. But have a little more say that way.
No, that's so good. So this will drive future Village Board decisions on whether or not they wanted to spend money on us looking at a second TIF, looking at things like that. Because some of the initiatives do cost money, you know, so that's kind of why I was asking that question. Okay.
Right, and that's those are things we do discuss. For example, the zoning, updating the zoning code to coordinate with better with the comprehensive plan. We understand that that might involve hiring a consultant.
Sure.
And we were involved in the discussion. We were asked about a corridor study because it was brought up by, I don't know if it was DOT or the consultant, the engineering consultant, brought up the idea of a corridor study.
Neither one.
Yeah. Neither? Who? I thought that's where it came from.
We had complaints because the DOT was making plans for Riverside Drive without taking into account our development land. So as a realtor, I addressed and some of the other people were concerned about the lack of input from the public that owns development land and the DOT. So we came up with our own plan.
But anyway, so that's an issue that technically we would take an initiative on and present a concept to the Village Board to see if they would like us to go ahead with it. So.
I want to thank Roger for cleaning this up and clarifying and sure putting a lot of time into this. We would like to send this on to the Village Board at some point, unless there is any other discussion on this. Yes.
Also submitted the timeline, just a rough timeline. I did include in there, just in case you guys I wanted to look at the biking type plan yourselves, I did include that in the timeline. But I would recommend, with the present action, to remove those from the timeline and insert anything else you guys wish to see. Mm-hmm. Also in quarter three, second bullet, I really bicycle, because last year we did a mix of both.
Question. Are there any other changes that anybody would like to see made? Motion to approve the 2014 Plan Commission's annual report with the changes that Trevor mentioned on that last page of the 2015 timeline. It's been a motion to approve the annual report by Wes. Is there a second?
Second
by Kendra. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you, Roger, for all your hard work on that one.
You're welcome.
Number nine is approval of the approach to rezoning of the Green Avenue Pump Station. We discussed this a little bit at our last month's meeting. And Trevor has been able to find some more information on the property for us.
And I know Roger asked for a plan of the, and that was, again, something else I was going to have up on the screen, so I apologize for not having that.
Were you able to find the original plans for the building? Or?
We have some old plans, correct. They're pretty rough shape. So I think you saw them too, didn't you? Yeah.
Did it include the tank, too? Or is it just the building?
The back tank is a non-contributing structure, so that was added.
Or were you going to add it?
Yeah, I can't remember either, but... And I did put a call into the state to see if that could potentially be removed without hurting the
National Registry List?
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Barb. And they said it would really be a case-by-case basis. So she was supposed to get back to me. I'll have to follow up with her.
Okay. Were you working with Dinah on that?
Peggy Kerrigan. She's in charge of the National Register.
Oh, okay.
Area of the WHS.
In the, are we starting a discussion on this?
Mm-hmm, sure.
In the memo, I think that I was probably misunderstood when I asked about the timeline for selling public property. I more meant, you know, do you have to follow some statute as far as disposal of public property? Once the village determines that it wants to sell it, do you have to put public notice out? Or, because I'm here, it says timeline, no statute. I know we're not required to have a timeline when we're talking about it to sell it, but I thought there might be a triggering mechanism to when we'd have to publicly notify. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So if you're going to, are we planning on, or is the village planning on putting the property up for sale and notifying the public that it is for sale?
They did it somewhat back in 2008 when they agreed to sell the property.
Okay.
We looked that up too, and a municipality may, but it's not required to use a competitive bidding process when selling the property.
Sure.
So they can just feel free to sell it to whomever.
Sealed bids, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, any other reasonable sales procedure?
So the one thing I think you're asking is the village board simply able to determine if it can be sold
without going through a process of 30 months to do
it.
And it is, correct.
Okay, good.
Good question. You had me wondering.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then I guess, you know, what we talk about is instead of coming up with a particular zoning of the property, have to go through the PDD process, which would make the most sense.
And that's what they're really looking at doing with the old Village Hall property also?
Mm-hmm.
And they would go with the same route with PDD?
Right.
So with the approval of the approach for rezoning, is it that we would be making a motion to have them go through the PDD process? I mean, we discussed it the last time, but we didn't have a motion. Are there any other questions or any other thoughts on rezoning it to a specific zoning district as opposed to the PDD? I think we'll have a little more control with the PDD, and then it also offers any future owners some flexibility. And
I think that was the big item that I recall was it. I remember thinking about, or maybe saying, put as few roadblocks as possible in the way of someone who might want to actually buy it. And if that, that allows some more flexibility, more negotiating of who knows what. So I'm in favor of the PDD at this point. It would be interesting. I guess it's not... It's outside the scope of this commission. Maybe it's just my own personal interest in how much it would cost to remove that tank behind it.
Was it 30-something, or was it 40-something?
40, but that was for the whole building. I believe Public Works looked into it a few years ago, and that was before the nomination process started, and I believe it was... I want to say 40, but maybe it's 30.
That was 30 to remove the well.
Just the well?
Just the well.
Okay.
But that would be the tank portion.
The tank.
30,000.
Yeah,
okay. The village isn't looking at doing that, are they? I mean, somebody that would want that.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So, however, that sounded like a motion that you would be in favor of going with the PDD zoning.
Yep.
Okay. And is there a second?
A second.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion?
From the last meeting, if it's zoned residential or commercial, they're still probably have to be a PDD process, right?
Or some type of a variance that would be really hard to prove.
Hardship.
Yeah, so I think it's going to allow more flexibility for them, especially if parking could be an issue, depending on what they want that to be used for. Plus, that is adjacent to some residential, so we would want, if we just gave it a straight commercial rezoning, it could be almost anything that moves in there, a cigar shop or something that maybe wouldn't be compatible with a residential use, that we would want a little more control over what might go there.
So perhaps the motion should be that our recommendation is that the property remain zoned as village-owned so that
any development.
PDD process may be initiated for any development.
Okay.
Isn't that what you said, Howard?
Sort of.
Okay,
that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Sounded.
So we're not doing a substitute motion. Howard just made that motion.
Howard made that motion. It's clarifying it, right. We aren't zoning it as PDD. It would have to go through the whole PDD ordinance.
It already has a zoning classification.
Right. But any development would need to go through the PDD process for this parcel. Is there any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Yeah. Well, you want to watch the PowerPoint? It's all on.
On what, for what one? This one?
The max one was the result of the visioning.
Okay.
Do you happen to have a paper copy of it that we could make some copies, maybe?
I don't have one. I don't have a paper copy of it.
I think I'd be willing to accept your interpretation of
your main talking points.
Main talking points is the residents feel that we're pretty much a safe community. They like the fact that there's the historic flavor, interest in having some commercial within reason. Biking and pedestrian aspects are important. They like our services that we provide, and in one case would be willing to pay for more. So they want us to keep doing pretty much what we're doing as far as the services that are being provided. If we're going to enforce ordinances, to make sure that we enforce them consistency. What am I missing in there? And I apologize. I'll end up emailing it all out to you guys. Intent was to utilize it here and not copy 20 pages of color. So apologize for that. What else am I missing in there? Can you think of anything else?
We really like the administrator and the village board,
yeah.
Elected officials. So.
You know, one of the things for Roger, and I'm going to mention a little bit too. You indicated that we've been seem to be getting more participation,
mm-hmm.
and that's so key. And I think you're right. It's either the e-news that's going out, or something that people are just sort of finding more of an interest in what's going on, because we are in a transition area, mm-hmm. of future development or redevelopment. So I think there's a little bit of excitement, so people may be taking a little more vested interest in what's going on in the community. So we need to capitalize on that.
Right.
We need to keep that momentum going so that we can accomplish other projects that are out there.
Mm-hmm. What was the respondent level? Was it high or?
No. It still wasn't that high. It was the online ended up around 90-ish. Some of the other key aspects that were thrown out, some of the concern is the declining housing stock. I'm trying to remember all these other areas. Gathering points, or a gathering destination point within the village. I just got another one of those today as an email from a gentleman that's out east, I think, right now. But the housing stock aspect is interesting because, you know, we've been promoting the block grant through Brown County and listening to representatives from Brown County Planning Department. They can't give it away. People are not applying for these loans, 0% interest loans, and they just can't get people to apply for them. So, you know, we're trying to get the word out on that aspect as well. So,
have you sent that copy of that flyer out to some of those?
It's sitting out front. Did it get mailed to everybody as well? I don't remember.
But
it's on our website. You know, it's just...
Who's eligible?
I can't remember the requirements.
Low to moderate income housing, so you have to 80% of the median income, which I believe is around $38,000.
Do you know what percentage of LOA residences would fall in that category?
Not at this point, no. But again, those are nice numbers to have.
Mm-hmm.
Better demographics of the community.
Actually, there should be some information in our comp plan about that.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is, yeah. It's just trying to remember what the numbers are.
So,
mentioned the pedestrian-friendly aspect is important. Safety is important.
Like the parks.
Parks were way up there as far as general feel, the importance, and our identity as being the park. I think you were there too, that's right. Anyway, what else am I missing? I'm sorry.
I think you're covering most everything, yeah.
It was very similar to the night when you, or the day you were there, or the evening you were there. The theme's kind of, relatively consistent, which was a nice thing to hear.
But, I wouldn't be concerned. You know, you had 90 people out of, I don't know what the population of Alloway is, but it's not that great. I mean, it's not a huge population. And when you think about in Green Bay, at least, well, you didn't, I participated in their downtown planning study, and they had public participation. And on their meeting nights, they had a few hundred people come out, and maybe they had 1,000 respondents to...
Similar to equivalent as to what we...
Yeah, and when you look at the whole population of the city of Green Bay, you know, you're not doing that bad with 90 people coming out.
Well, if any indication, the number of individuals that showed up to the corridor study...
Mm-hmm.
That was a great turnout. I was very happy.
So.
I'll send that out...
I believe it's on the website.
Yeah. It is on our website, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we probably could have pulled it up, but we only Trevor and I would be looking at it. Mm-hmm. So, sorry about that. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. I just watched. It's all good.
Moving on to 11, report on the Heritage Hill parking lot reconstruction.
So there's another item that I wanted to pull up on the screen, but I did make some copies. I only have 3 of each, so we can share. So I included what they submitted as their, what they have currently, and what their proposed is. And if you notice, they have some pedestrian access included. From Webster, which is nice. They do have a nice big paved bike rack area as you come in, which is nice. And I did include recommend that they include the A-frame or U-shaped bike racks as opposed to the more traditional ones. In the north, well, I guess on this map, as you're looking at it in the upper left corner with the handicapped spots, I did suggest that they include bumpers there or extend the sidewalk so that it wouldn't just be feet or so, because there's a 4 or 2 foot car overhang. So they are going to the Board of Appeals to get a variance on the parking stall width. They have listed in here 9 feet. Our ordinance requires 10 feet. So, but really, I mean, I think it looks pretty good as far as what is there currently.
How many parking stalls are there currently?
I knew at one point. I can't remember though.
Is there a net increase or a net decrease?
There is a net increase. And with the 9 foot stalls, if they move 9 foot to 10 foot, they would lose approximately 12 spaces. So fairly significant.
Looks like a big improvement.
Yeah.
And there was enough with the access aisles for the fire department. They took a look at that.
That's good.
Make the entrance look nicer too. The streetscape, what you see when you drive by.
And what type of bike rack are you recommending?
The A-frame or U-shaped ones, or the upside down U-shaped ones.
So they're individual, and they provide 2 points of support for bicycles.
Right. Okay. Yep. I did provide them a picture. I found that information from our Safe Routes to School plan.
Yeah, they're actually more likely to be able to find traditional-looking bike racks in that style.
What do you mean?
You know, things that look like they're 1890s styled, okay. You know, ornamentation on them, so things like that. So.
Alright, are there any other questions on this?
The only question I have is there any landscaping component to this parking lot?
They are going to put up some trees along the south end, so along the left side there. That borders, they did have a fence there. They had to take out the trees because the fence and the trees were pretty much one and the same. So they did remove those trees, and then they are looking at putting some landscaping along there. As far as the front, I believe they're still going to leave that grass.
And I would just suggest that if we would want this to be a little more, kind of improve the look, it would be great if they could do some landscaping along the edges of the parking lot so that the cars park up against Webster. You know, they're concealed up to about hood level. So it's a very common, municipalities have zoning requirements for parking lot screening. And it would be great to point to Heritage Hill as an example of good parking lot screening in that way. So.
And then where the parking stalls are abutting that southern property line, is there a house right there adjacent to that?
There is.
And do the parking stalls angle towards the house currently, or are they going to
currently
like
they do not, no.
So some screening would be best there to protect that property?
Yes, and they have reached out to all the neighboring property owners and spoken with them about what they would prefer, not prefer.
You mentioned the fence, and the trees are going to be removed. Was there another fence installed?
Not a fence, more of a hedge line.
Okay. You're not concerned about security?
No. So they're looking at starting this this spring yet and getting it done before, I believe, April.
You know, one thing I just realized, I don't know where the property line is on the east side against along Webster Avenue,
mm-hmm.
but it sure would be nice for the entrance exit condition to anticipate that that sidewalk would be moved to the west at some point.
I think the property lines are right on the back of the sidewalk right now.
It is. Hmm. That is one of the problem areas when with snow.
Does it take 14 feet here?
Did it go to the fire department for review?
I believe it did. Public Works has been primarily working with them on this project. I'll definitely double check with that.
Otherwise, it'd be Joel Gabe.
Any other questions on the parking lot? Not. The next item on our agenda is for the next meeting date, which is March 23rd. And agenda items, we will look at what Brad and Trevor bring back from the county as far as the ideas on the bicycle and pedestrian plan. And are there any other items that we need to add to the agenda? I think that's the one that we would be carrying over. Unless you want to try the visioning data results.
You're going to email them?
I can email them.
They're on the website, I'm sorry.
They are on the website, but if you want me to email them, I can send you that.
Any other items?
Bike Ped Plan Committee makeup is what we're looking at. And
the approach.
And the approach.
Right. We're going to see if they had a template to follow. And then whatever else comes up between now and then.
Well, I have the, I think you already set the next corridor meeting on the 19th.
Okay, if that's it, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Wes. Is there a second?
Oh, second.
Second by Roger. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.